Hi everyone, my name is Joel Burks and I'm the Associate Minister of Contemporary Worship here at Mountain Brook Baptist. We so much appreciate you and pray that this recording will breathe life into your day. The title of Dr. Dortch's sermon is Protecting What Matters Most. And the big idea is that the soul is open to every impulse and knows no security in this life or the next.
Hear now the reading of God's word from the book of Proverbs, the 25th chapter, verse 26. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. If our junk mail, and we all get junk mail every day the mail runs, if those pieces of junk mail are any indication of the tone that exists in our society today, then my junk mail tells me that there must be an awful lot of us who feel vulnerable and insecure and in some way exposed. I say that because of the number of promotional flyers that I seem to get every week promoting some kind of security system that promises to protect what is nearest and dearest to me. I can remember the day when no one locked anything. I guess that speaks to my age or where I grew up, but I can remember when no one locked their doors, no one locked their cars, no one locked anything. Everyone felt safe and secure. That is most definitely not the case today. And for good reason. If the statistics are correct, and I have no reason to doubt that they aren't, then robberies and break-ins are at an all-time high. And even if you live in a place that on the surface seems to be as secure as the community in which we live, there are no guarantees. No guarantees that you will not find yourself victimized by someone who has violated your security, your sanctity, and so it stands to reason. It stands to reason that we would want to invest our resources in something that can assure us that we will protect what matters most to us. The only question I have is that in the process of protecting those things that matter most to us, would we not be equally willing to give of ourselves in whatever ways are necessary to protect the thing that matters most? Which is our own souls. This morning we look at the last in the list of the virtues that Paul provides in his listing of the fruit of the Spirit, this virtue of self-control, which I think you would agree in many ways is the most challenging virtue of them all, because it speaks to what we must do to make sure that we have protected our own souls, that we are not vulnerable and exposed to threats on the outside that would entice us on the inside to go down paths that put our souls in jeopardy. There is no person in this life who is more vulnerable than the man or the woman who has not made sure that he or she has not taken the necessary provisions to protect the most important thing of all, which is his or her own soul. That is a truth that is given such attention in the book of Proverbs, particularly the passage of Scripture that is before us this morning from the 25th chapter of Proverbs. Like a city wall that has been broken through, that has collapsed, that is now exposed, is the person who lacks self-control. The book of Proverbs, traditionally attributed to King Solomon, is a book that was written as a means for training up young men and young women who would assume positions of authority in the worship and political life of ancient Israel. And so in Proverbs, there are many instructions, words of guidance for young people in particular who are preparing themselves to assume tremendous responsibility when it comes to offering counsel and assistance to others. And in this passage that I have read for you this morning, what the writer of Proverbs wants us to understand is that no one can exercise oversight over others until he or she has first learned how to exercise that same oversight and control over himself or herself, the most vulnerable person is the person who has not learned how to rein in his own impulses. It is the individual who has not learned how to constrain herself and is therefore open to every threat or enticement that would take us down paths that are not in our best interest. Today, perhaps some of you live in homes that are in gated communities. That is not an uncommon thing today, and yet not all of us live in such places. In ancient times, everyone lived behind a wall or a gate, and that is because in the ancient world, people living on the outside of a city would have been exposed to bands of marauders. They would have been at the mercy of any band of vandals who might come in their direction. You look in the book of Nehemiah and you read the story of how God raised up a cupbearer to the king of Persia to go back to the land of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah's first order of business was to undergo a project where the walls of the city that had been torn down by the invading armies might be rebuilt, because the city would not have any future until its walls were once again secure. In the same way, the Bible wants us to understand that if we are interested in any hope for a promising future, we must also find ways to erect walls of protection around our own souls that keep us from giving in to everything that might come our way that would move us in a direction that is contrary to God. I don't know that there's a person here this morning, either in the sanctuary or listening online, who doesn't know that in his head. But the question still remains, have we learned this important teaching, this important truth in our hearts? Parker Palmer is a devotional writer of note who offers helpful counsel on how we strengthen our souls in order to become the people that God in Christ calls us to be. In one of his books, Palmer mentions how the American mindset in particular is one that is averse to all kinds of restraints. We don't like walls of any type, and we are always seeking to go beyond all limitations. You think of American history and how important it was for our developing nation to move west and to tame and domesticate the frontier. We were in many ways allured to move ourselves in directions that took us in places where we would be free on the range. That's a part of our national lore, and it's a beautiful part. We think of how important it was for our country to be the first to put a man on the moon, and how space was in many respects a new kind of frontier. We think of cyberspace today, even though we feel that we're being choked by not having enough space. Now we have moved out and found a way to go out into what is called cyberspace, and all kinds of opportunities and possibilities are made available to us there. And yet it is so very much the case that we as Americans find it so difficult to take no for an answer on any level, and you wonder why it is so much of a challenge for people today to wear something as simple as a mask for the sake of other people, because we don't want to be controlled. And yet, the scripture is clear that learning how to control our impulses and emotions, learning to be in control of ourselves, is, yes, in many ways, the most challenging task as people of God, and yet, at the same time, it is the most essential task in order for us to get to a place in our relationship with God where we are the kind of people through whom God can work to advance His kingdom purposes in this world, which raises the question, how do I gain control of myself? How do I change my behavior so that I am not vulnerable and exposed to every whim and every fancy? How do I become a person not just of my convictions, but a person of God's convictions? Here is why this particular virtue is such a challenge to us, this virtue of self-control. It's because we think that we are supposed to perfect it in our own power, when the problem is that by ourselves, in our own power, as flawed and imperfect people, we are never capable of reining in these impulses that always seem to get the best of us. That is why the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, spoke of self-control as a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Every other thinker in Paul's day, every other philosopher, every other intellectual, contended in the ancient world that self-control is a virtue that we attain by mastering our desires and our impulses by ourselves, by trying harder, by disciplining ourselves. Meanwhile, the Apostle Paul understood that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, that even when we know what is right and we feel moved to do the right thing because of this proclivity to sin, to turn inwardly, to seek our own ways, we are incapable of doing the good that we will to do. Therefore, we invite the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, the presence of the risen Jesus to indwell us and to fill us and to empower us so that we then might be able to live in such a way that we experience more and more each day the joy of God's salvation, the irony of what it means to be led by the Spirit when it comes to this virtue of self-control. Is that the only way we are capable of attaining it is not by trying harder and doing more, but instead by relinquishing control. And when we yield ourselves to the presence of Jesus, there is a grace made available to us that pardons us from our sins and empowers us for the good future that God has for us to know and abides with us in the present, so that we're not bound by the past, nor are we constrained to the frontier of the future that God has for us to know. J. Wallace Hamilton was a great preacher of the last century. He was a Methodist. He preached for most of his ministry in the St. Petersburg, Florida area. In one of his books of sermons, Horns, Halos, and Human Nature, kind of describes it all, doesn't it? He tells the story of a group of explorers who were up in the Arctic and found these rare Arctic birds that they thought would be important for other people to be able to enjoy. It was a rare breed of birds, and so the idea was to capture these birds and to bring them back on their boat to the mainland in order that they might be on display in zoos and other natural preserves. And so these explorers had been able to secure a flock of these rare, unique birds, one of which escaped from the boat in the middle of the Arctic Ocean. And as the bird was able to be freed of its cage and the ship, it began to fly away to what it thought was a life of freedom, the life that it had known, but the ship had moved at that point so far from the shore that as the sailors saw the bird leave, they knew that the bird would be flying to its death, doing what was instinctual, doing what was impulsive. The sailors knew the bird was flying to its death. And after a while, as they were watching the bird fly away, they suddenly saw a speck on the horizon. A speck that became larger and larger until the sailors on the deck of the ship could recognize a bird flying back in their direction, eventually making it to the ship, to the deck, where it landed and collapsed out of exhaustion. It thought it was escaping constraints to be able to move in a direction that seemed right, that seemed natural, but was not in its best interest, only to return to what in reality was for the bird a place of refuge, a safe haven. So many today live their lives open to everything that just seems right and natural. Why constrain what feels to be the best thing for me? But when we are filled with the Spirit, we come to understand that what to some might seem a constraining thing is for us power and promise and peace and a place of rest. And so if you're here this morning and you feel overwhelmed because you have gone down paths that you thought were the right ones for you, but now you have discovered they were not in your best interest, today is a good day for you to return and come home. If you're here this morning and you just feel like life has become so uncertain and unpredictable, and you'd like to go back to a life that not so long ago just was so perfect, but you're beginning to understand that life will never exist again. Why not trust yourself to the presence of one who can unfold for you a new life? That though it is hard for you to conceive of in this present hour, will be far more meaningful and far more abundant than the old life that seems so great. If you're here today and you just can't get out of your own way, and so this whole business of self-control just seems entirely beyond you, be willing to relinquish control to a God who loves you more than you can possibly understand and has shown that love through the gift of his Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Relinquish control to Jesus, and he will give you rest. This morning, these elements will remind you of that marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. And as you receive them, your life will be filled with a love that will not ever, ever let you go. Like a city whose walls have been broken through and broken down is the person who lacks self-control. But for everyone who is filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you will be constantly controlled by a presence that will give you life in all of its abundance now and will secure you for an even greater existence in the life that is to come. Let's bow together for prayer. Our Father and our God, we come before you understanding the importance of placing our faith and trust in you, because when we believe in ourselves and trust in ourselves, it gets us nowhere. It just makes us more vulnerable and more exposed. But these elements remind us of the extent to which you were willing to go in order to reconcile us unto yourself, to provide us that grace that is sufficient for our every need. So God, help us to sense your presence even now, that we may yield control of our own souls to your Holy Spirit. And know the peace that passes all understanding that guards our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus, in whose name we do pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope that today's message brought you hope as we continue to love God and live with grace and generosity. Don't forget to check back here for more podcasts. And as always, go out and do the Lord's good work.